Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depends where you are. Welcome to the Web Dev Show. I'm Doris Chan. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. Today, we're going to talk about portfolios and fallbacks. This is part of building websites that work everywhere, web interoperability episodes. Again, my name is Doris Chan. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. You could actually find more contact information from here. I could be reached at Twitter via Doris T. Chan, and my email doris.chan@microsoft.com in case you need to send me feedback, ask me questions. And also, you could find all my episodes on Channel 9 at this link here. And also, you will be able to find more presentation, demo code information through my blog on second link as well. I'm a web developer for 18 years. So yes, I'm a web person. And I'm just fascinated about all the cool web technology. As an evangelist, I also present to various web-related conferences such as O'Reilly OSCON, Front, HTML5, DevCon, and so on. And it's great to talk about one of my favorite subjects, web interoperability. And today, we're going to actually focus on talking about portfolios and fallbacks. This will be our last episode under the web interoperability. And at the beginning of the episodes, we talk about how to do test, how to work with CSS3, and how to work with prefix of that. And also, we should not use browser detection, use UA sniffing. We should use feature detection. So now, we're going to talk about our last episode under the interoperability topic, which is how we could work with modern browsers at the same time also make the web content work at the old browsers. So we have to go back to check what kind of portfolios are available. What do we mean fallbacks? So let's actually start with looking into what we can do with the portfolios. Why we need a portfolios, right? So first of all, we are looking at a process which is more progressive enhancement. This is basically what we would do for all web content compatibility. So if you think about it, every time there will be a base level of work, web content, you want it to work everywhere. You want it to be consistent across all browsers, right? This is a baseline you have to define. This is very, very important. And then based on that, you could add in more nice, cool features when the modern browsers start to support them, right? And then you could utilize the feature detection to determine how to sort of like how that browser is going to support that, or maybe that browser is not going to support that. If not going to support that, then we have to sort of figure out some other ways to do that to make sure our web content will run on all browsers and as much as consistent as possible. So obviously, like we said before, we should leverage HTML5 features, CSS properties, because most modern browsers will support that. They are the standards. And then the other things we want to do is, what if we work with old browser, legacy browsers, which they don't support all the nice HTML5, CSS3 features, right? If that's the case, we have to utilize the portfolios. Let it run in the old browser to mimic all the nice features we could run in the modern browsers. So next, let's actually take a look, what is portfolios? What are they, right? So don't think about portfolios as that complicated. They are just typical set of JavaScript library using JavaScript HTML CSS code. Basically, it's another set of JavaScript library. So what they do? They basically provide a support for all the missing features. For example, WebGL is a new feature, right? Most modern browsers support it, but some older browsers does not support it. So what are you going to do? You could actually finding out all the part of use, all the library to mimic the behavior of WebGL. Hence, it supports the missing feature of WebGL. But still, you could actually getting some feeling about a WebGL kind of look and feel in the old browser. And also, when do you use them, right? So this is something I think it's in real life. In real life, you work with modern browsers. Obviously, everybody will say, yes, just upgrade to the most updated browsers, and you will be fine. Yes, it's very easy to say. I wish everybody, all the end users, all the customers could do that. But unfortunately, in reality, there are particular requirements, particular restrictions, so that the customers or end users have to stay with old browsers. Right. If that's the case, you still want to make sure your browser will be running, your web content will be running consistently, even though it is a legacy browser, it's older browser. So that's a time you have to use what we call fallback mechanism to fallback gracefully, and then try to use a part of yours to mimic that missing feature, and then let it run in the older browsers. So basically, this is the basic strategy we want to share with you, and it is very, very important. So now it's a lot easier to use part of use because Modernizer, like we said in the previous episode, Modernizer will provide all the part of use for HTML5 elements automatically. So every time, for example, you look for a WebGL, right? WebGL, that a new feature, will associate with a list of part of use that Modernizer provide. So it depends on what you need. You could actually get in one of the part of use and then mimic behavior of WebGL, and hence, this piece of web content will still run in your old browsers as well as in the modern browsers. Modern browser is one way of doing things, right? And then it's very handy, it's easy to use. But on the other hand, you could always create your own part of use or use the existing ones, right? Like I said, you already have some code running well and working fine in the existing legacy browsers. I'm not saying you should trash them, forget about them. You could actually leverage as much as possible, but then use Modernizer doing feature detection so that your old code could support your old browsers, and yet at the same time take advantage of using all the new features from HTML CSS3, right? So this is a way of doing things, right? Do not trash everything. Leverage things could work for you, but at the same time, using a nice infrastructure like a Modernizer to take care of both pieces. All right, so like we said, you don't have to use Modernizer part of use. You could come out with your own. For example, this is a very simple example. We want to actually check if the local storage could be supported or not, right? If it's not supported, hence here, I'm just using some very simple way. Could be using cookie or sessions just to support that particular storage, right? So this could be your own implementation. It could be some code you've been working with and they're working fine in the old browsers. You could still leverage it and trade it as part of your party views, right? It's totally fine. Now, you could always use Modernizer as a way to leverage your part of use from the Modernizer. This is actually Modernizer providing a very easy syntax API for you to look into. So Modernizer.load, and then you could just say, which feature I want to test? In this case, is geolocation. So you put a test. The feature I want to test is called Modernizer geolocation. I test that geolocation. If it's a yes, it's the browser support that, then I'm running all the code which will actually leverage the geolocation feature called geo.js, right? And if it's nope, if that browser does not support geolocation, then I'm looking for all the geo part of use JavaScript code to run it. So this is a very clear case to leverage a Modernizer, and you see the logic, you see the condition checking, you see the yes and no, and with different response. So really, you know, Modernizer provide a very easy way for you to leverage a part of use and running both for modern browser as well as for the older browsers. Okay, so let's actually look into some of the details. For example, one of the interesting examples to look into would be the support for HTML5 video and audio. Now, for those of you who haven't tried HTML5 video and audio, you may try to use JavaScript to do audio player or video player. But now, you don't have to use all the JavaScript. You could use HTML5 tag. They have very good and easy to use video and audio tag to do the job, right? So let's actually take a close look of what is involved inside a video and audio tag. So I summarize audio and video in such a fashion so it will be easy to follow. So no longer need a JavaScript. You just have to have an audio tag, right? It's a markup tag called audio. Specify where the source is. And you could specify if you want to preload it, right? Or you don't want to preload it. So depends on your option, none, metadata, or auto. You know, it's could based on your option, it could have different display result. And you could always say, this particular music, I want to auto-play. But if you are actually implementing a background music, you do want to do it with cautious, because you may not want every time you get onto that website, the background music is on, because you may be in a public place. You don't want to turn on your sound. Everybody will hear that. Or maybe you are in a meeting. You happen to browse into one of the link and has background music, and everybody could hear you. During a meeting, even though you thought it shouldn't matter, right? So autoplay, you should be a little careful. Loop is very useful, because you probably play that piece of music, that piece of audio again and again. Controls is useful, but it's not that useful for the audio, because audio, depends on if you want to control that piece of audio. You have the play, pause, forward, backward kind of buttons, or you want to just let it play, right? So this is about audio, very easy to use. And then how about the video, right? Video has very similar concept. So instead of saying audio, you actually have a tag called video. Right? So the video, and again, you specify the URL of your video. And because you have to play the video, so there are a few more parameters you have to specify. For example, width and height. You want to just specify how big your video is and where it is, right? And then you could actually use a poster. This is a good technique. It's basically a URL to your thumbnail of that video, because a lot of times video could be quite big, right? And then it would be frustrated if you're waiting the very first time for the video to be loaded without anything. You will show a blank screen. People wouldn't know if the video is valid, is going to play or not. So if you could put a poster there, it's actually will make people feel, this is actually good. It's a good video. I'm just waiting for video to be fully loaded. It's going to be interesting, right? Pick an interesting snapshot or thumbnail of the video so that people are willing to wait. This is actually part of the technique called a perceived performance. A classical example will be, I actually said it in multiple times, but I think it's actually fun to talk about that again. So for example, you actually have a progress bar, right? And then you will see a lot of times the implementation is like downloading from 0 to 99%. It's like zoom, very, very fast, right? But it takes the very last 1% forever to download. But because you feel 99% of the content is already downloaded, so you're willing to wait for the very last 1% to finish. Right, so this is basically human psychology. It's called a perceived performance, because the end user has to be confident about what you're about to do, what you're about to show. Right, so basically, yes, the downloading takes that many minutes, but then because of the progress bar, making people feel it's you're willing to wait. Right, so it's called a perceived performance, even though it does take that long, but you are. You have to do some better user interface design to make the end user willing to wait. You could actually throw some kind of puzzle or do some animation to distract their attention so they didn't feel I have to wait. They didn't feel that site is dead or something like that. like that, right? So this is actually a very important technique called a perceived performance in web performance development. And go back to check your code. Maybe you could make your end user more happy. Okay, so let's actually go back to continue talking about HTML5 video. And poster is a good way to showing you the videos coming up. Again, you could do preload to save some time so that a video will start right away. You could also do autoplay if you don't want a user to click on any of the control buttons. They could actually play the video right away. Loop, meaning, yes, I want to keep on playing that video as a background or some other purpose. And you probably always put controls there so people could play, pause, fast forward, backward, and so on. So again, if you look at that, it is actually taking care of all the basic characteristics of showing audio and video. And again, this is available for all the browsers from Edge, IE, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera. It's across all the modern browsers. Now, the other thing might be interesting to talk about is compatibility of the source. Let's first start with HTML5 audio. And I use this table to give you some idea what kind of audio format is basic support across all browsers. So it looks like MP3 audio, it will be a good one to have because it does support across all browsers. AAC audio format is yes or no, because for Firefox, you do need to have the installer. So it's not a guarantee that it will be working out of box. And then WAV is probably not such a good idea because it's not supported by IE, right? So you have to, if it's a WAV file format, you have to figure out some other way to support that as well. So again, MP3 will be your best way to showing your audio. Next, let's look into video. Now, if you look at this table, I would say the MPEG-4 H.264 video format is probably your best choice for the video because this MP4 format is supported across all the browsers, all the modern browsers. So it's actually good to use. You don't have to worry about if that video format is supported in a browser or not. WebM, yes or no, because for Edge, you need to have an installer. And then for the Safari, it's a no. It's not really supported. And then OGG is actually not a good thing. Edge is considered to support it, but IE and Safari, they're not supporting OGG. So your best friend for video file is MP4 with H.264 format. Now, let's actually look into an example with what we call fallbacks. We just said about we want to support web content in such a way that it will run in modern browsers as well as it will run in the older browsers, right? So if you look into the HTML5 video, it's providing a very good mechanism to do all the fallbacks to support both old and modern browsers. So if you look at it, if you use a video tag like this, you said video, this is where I get my video resource. And then if that HTML5 video is supported by the browser, it will actually play that video.mp4 file. If that particular browser is not support HTML5 video tag, then whatever in the middle between it will show. So if you have some text message to say, what will it render? Basically, it will show. Right, basically you could say this browser does not support HTML5 video or things like that, it will all show there, right? So whatever in between the video tag, it's called a part of the video tag fallbacks and it will show. And then there's a lot of tags, including audio and some other tags, has this fallback mechanism. If you want to know more detail, you could search for fallbacks for HTML5. So one of the more like a realistic example we will see is, for example, again, I have a piece of video, right? And then I have a poster to showing you this is an interesting video. It's a basic thumbnail from it. Specify height and width and make sure it will automatically play that, automatically buffered and have some control button and I want to play in loop, right? And then that's actually how you actually close the video tag. Now, in the middle is something really interesting. So if this browser supports HTML5 video, the video will be playing. If the video tag is not supported by that browser, Then things in the middle, which is circled, outlined in the red box, is going to pray. So it may run into using JavaScript, right? A typical example would be running FreshPrayer, right? FreshPrayer, you have to actually install it as a plugin for a lot of modern browsers. So in general, we should get rid of all those FreshPrayer kind of way to do things, especially for modern browser, we should actually always use VideoTag. But then for older browsers, they do not support HTML5 video, what are you gonna do, right? Then you have to rely on all the things between in the middle, what we call fallback kind of code, which is in this case, using the JavaScript to pray a FreshPrayer. And this is a way to do. So by doing that, you could not just supporting the modern browser, you could run directly with HTML5 tag. You could also support old browser, which could only run in a FreshPrayer. So this is a very good example to showing you how you could actually take care of the modern browser, take advantage of the HTML5 feature, as well as the same times supporting the older browser. Now, let's actually look into a real life example. I call it a plugin experience example. So I actually am going to be really brave and look into a real website called words.github.com website. This is actually a very interesting website. Some of you maybe already use that. It shows a lot of movie trailers as well as a lot of videos associated with big stars, celebrities, right? So pretty cool. But then, for example, I want to actually watch this Facing Ali, this particular movie trailer. But then this is a running edge. It says this type of video file is not supported, all right? It's not supporting. And then let's change it into Chrome, right? And you will see same thing. It doesn't give me any particular content. It just shows me a blank screen. So the reason is I'm a very safe person. I actually disable all the plugins. So no plugins will be able to pray it in those browsers. Okay, so you would say, this doesn't look like very user-friendly, isn't it? Because I want to see the movie trailer, and for the go to a Chrome, go to the modern browsers, it doesn't even show me anything. What am I going to do with that? All right? And then at the same time, you may want to say, hey, this is a real site, right? How I could actually try to fix the problems while the site is still running, but I want to actually show my end user or customers, say, the way I'm fixing it right now is not going to disturb your life's content. It's going to be still fine. I'm just actually using some tool to change the response so that you could actually see the end result, so you could actually fix the problem more confidently, right? So the thing we're gonna actually use is use Fiddler. I don't know how many of you have heard about a Fiddler. It is actually a very useful traffic, monitoring traffic, HTTP request and response kind of tool. You could actually run it live-free, and what's most interesting is you could edit the response. Okay, let me show you how to do that. So first of all, let's actually find out where that site is. Okay, so this is actually the site I'm just talking about. Let's actually decode the selection and drag it here so that I'm actually dragging this HTTP request, right, from the website, and take a look what kind of response it generates. So let's take a look at the response. And then you probably want to install a particular view called syntax view so that you could exactly take a look what's in the HTML, what kind of JavaScript you use, right? Okay, so by looking into this piece of code multiple times, I probably know where I'm supposed to look into. So I want to actually look into that particular code called NAP div. But before I do that, I want to do a quick verification to make sure I'm generating the right response on the website, right? Notice the website is still running. So I'm going to go to the title, and I'm going to actually put some text called a test colon, right? And don't forget you want to save this response. And then let's actually go back to the browser, reload it, and you will see that a particular test is already showing up at this corner, right? So it's actually, we are actually editing the right response for that website. Okay, going back to that website and just work a little bit more onto this piece of code, and we will find out this is a particular div area we want to work with, and I kind of see what might be the problem is. First of all, it's actually using bunch of plugins. It's using Flash Player for all the browsers. And we know this is not a good practice, because if we disable Flash, right, plugin, then you won't be able to see something, right? So this is probably no good. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually try to modify the piece of the work here, right, up to here. So let's try to see if we could modify this piece of code, getting the important things still from there, but at the same time, let's implement HTML5 video, right? So first of all, let's actually just copy, cut this piece. And then at the same time, we're gonna actually, it's kind of small in the tool itself, but let's actually take a look at the piece of code I'm about to put. So I'm actually gonna put the HTML5 video tag, defining the style with all the widths it want to take, defining it's with the controls, and defining where the MP4, that's actually the HTML5 video preferred format for HTML5, right? And then I'm writing, just modifying all the script. And then is that I copy paste most of the Flash Player JavaScript code, and then adding this checking to see, say, if HTML5 video is not supported, right? Then I'm using this piece of thing. I'm checking the video and the saying can play type, and then close it with all the script and so on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually getting this video tag and with all the fallback in the middle, which is a fresh JavaScript, right? So I'm going to actually paste it here and just format it just a little bit so people could see it well, and then leave the rest of them the way it is, right? So sounds good. So let's take a look and see if it really helps, right? Let's rerun again. Wow, that's very cool, because if you play the video actually start to play, right? And if you look at that, it is a typical HTML5 video, right? It's not a Flash anymore, right? So it's HTML5 video we're using. Okay, this is cool. We just changed the response on the website. This website is still running. Let's try it in Chrome, right? Let's refresh it. Same thing, works very well, right? We see that a particular video clip works again on Chrome as well, and again, it is HTML5 video again. All right, so let's actually try it in some other thing we need to verify. Let's actually test it in IE. And we could see that, yes, IE is actually, it's playing as well, because this is IE 11 and it does support HTML5 video, right? So it runs fine. Now, let's actually try something else. We want to see what if this particular video player is played in an old browser. So we know IE 8 and below does not support HTML5 video, right? So let's actually pick 7. Let's mimic the behavior of 7, right? And see if it's working, right? So in that case, we are actually, yes, we're still playing with a video, but this is probably a different video we're playing. Right? So now we see it is actually start to working, right? And it's probably not the same one, but it's actually a fresh Adobe one. See that? It's a fresh Adobe one. So it's actually not a really HTML5 video. It's a fresh Adobe one. See? So that's good. We actually managed to make it work in the IE7, which is old browser. And we're not really, you know, of course, it doesn't support HTML5 video, but we managed to use Adobe Flash, which is the code in the middle, right? It's a fallback code. We managed to make it work. And obviously, if we let it go back to the default IE11, it will actually go back to the HTML5 video, right? Which we'll just see it in a second. Again, this is the previous video we're playing, right? And we could actually play with that. Still working fine. Cool. So we actually see the piece of code we put insert into the Fiddler, the tool. By the way, Fiddler actually works both on Windows, and they have a better version work on Mac as well. So if you haven't tried the Fiddler, you could feel free to try that. So we actually could go back to the code again. We implement HTML5 video and then let it run in the fallback, which is using the Flash player. And now, based on what we see, all the modern browser, Edge, Chrome, IE, they both work with all the HTML5 video, as well as if we go to the old browser, they work with the Flash player as well. So this is a very good example that we actually manage to make all the modern browsers to work as well as work with older browsers, right? Does not support, say, HTML5 video. We use let it run with Flash player, and it's still working, right? So now you probably are kind of wondering, oh, okay, that's good. We fixed a lot of problems, but did I really screw up the website or what? You know, I show you, okay. So the easiest way is just let's quit Fiddler, right? Let's just quit it, right? And then if you rerun that website, you will see everything goes back to normal, right? To the previous case, which is really not supporting the plugin. So that's good. We actually just figured out a way how we could actually do this fix while the website is live, it's still running. And then we could fix a problem on site by using a tool like a Fiddler. Few things to consider, right? So when you actually think about it to supporting both old and modern browsers, a few things you really want to keep in mind. Make sure your web content is cross-browser. Is it cross-browser? Is it good enough? Does it work as expected? That's the first thing you check, right? And then you may think about, I want to actually support it for the future browsers, right? So what kind of infrastructure do I have? Should I abandon all the work I've already been working with, or should I leverage all the existing work which is working and leverage things like modernizers, all those things to make it work perfectly, right? And, you know, how much code I have to rewrite, right? I want to make sure I write the minimum code, but I want to make sure it's a consistent code. I don't want to introduce a lot of inconsistency into the code just because I fixed this problem, then maybe introduce the other problem, make it very hard to maintain, right? So all those things, you know, what kind of code you write? Is it interoperable? Do you still want to support in the future? Is your code consistent? How much code do you have to reuse? Things like that, right? So the takeaway for this episode, which is also the last episode for web interoperability, is, like we said in the previous episodes, avoid browser detection, avoid UA sniffing. UA sniffing is a bad way. It's not a good way to do it anymore. Try to remove it as much as possible. Use feature detection. Check a particular feature against all kinds of browser. Then it's very easy. You could actually come out with yes, supported, no, not supported. You could only have two response to support, right? So it's a lot easier. And modernizer is your good friend. Try to use modernizer as much as possible. And then also think about, it's a big word, use a pod views, use a fallback mechanism, because when you support all the very good features for the modern browsers, you also want to make sure your web browser, your web content will work with all the legacy old browsers. So by looking into the nice way to support a pod views, to implement fallbacks, you could actually work with the modern browsers, yet at the same time, take care of your old browsers. So I hope you could actually look into all the episodes on web interoperability, get some ideas, rethink about your web content, rethink about your development, because really, web interoperability is part of your development. Don't think about it. You could actually develop a website without worry about web interoperability. I hope you really learned something from this episode. Thank you very much. See you next time.